All right, Kurt, let's rock and roll, man. Welcome to Marvel Avengers Alliance. Oh, no. It's from the helicopter. No, wait. I should have played the old one. Dang, I should have played the old one. Too late.
The old one. I totally missed out
because it's FTA's Beyond. But the reason I threw out all those other titles is I am on with the legendary, because I know you use that in a lot of your tags, the legendary producer, Kat Evans.
Legendary game designer.
Let me promote you, man. Just take it. I'll promote you. Legendary rock star of gaming, Kat Evans, which you worked on Marvel Avengers Alliance, and you worked on Strike Force, and now you're not working on Pokemon Go. I'm like, come on. Just stick to the games I play. What are you doing getting on different games? Stop it. So,
well, I'm sure you'll play some more of the games I'm working on.
I hope so. So you're a designer. So just on the surface, you know, because I know we can get too techie and deep on this. Tell me what that means for Strike Force. Like, what part did you have in bringing Strike Force to life?
So I was responsible for the tutorial experience. So like literally the very beginning of the game, that was all like me and my team. We were a small like 5 or 6 person team who worked hard on getting that tutorial experience into ship shape before shipping the game. And there's a lot of work that goes into the tutorial, because like, how long should it be? What kind of problems can the user get into? Can we make it so that if we take them off rails, can they get back on rails? Can they have a good experience and not lose interest in the game? You know, because you don't want it to get to the point where people are just like, I'm just pushing buttons and I don't know what I'm doing.
You don't want them to put somebody just on a flight deck and have them stay there forever, is what you're saying?
Hey, Luke Cage got off the flight deck, okay? I told y'all to wait. I knew I was going to get to
him. I didn't know we have to wait a couple of years and a new game to get him, but and he's phenomenal now. You know what? I know we'll give you a hard time. But in reality, it's growing pains, right? Now, my first question for MAA is, were we correct in the theory that it was just going to be a promotional thing for the movies, and then it got legs, and so all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, we got to make a real game? It's all right. So that makes a lot of sense, right? It was never planned to be what it became. And it was out for what, 4 years? 3.5 years?
MAA?
Yeah.
MAA was out for about 5 years, actually, before it sunset.
Because I got in...
Because I joined in 6 months into it, and I worked on the project for 4.5 years. So it was about 5. Maybe not just 5, but around 5.
Yeah, I know it was a while. Sorry. You try to fix things on the fly and pretend like nothing's going on, and it doesn't want to cooperate.
I see someone referencing him, so I want to correct. It's her. Hi.
Yeah, there's get it right. Get it right. So, no. I love that you're not punching people in the face about it. But no.
Oh, no.
You are.
People don't.
Transition.
People see visual appearance. It's fine. It happens.
And we had a great pre-talk about that stuff. But I see pre-launch, pre-spec ops, OG Mockingbird team for the win is what Skippy says.
I was not involved on the Mockingbird spec ops, but I joined in. I started working on MAA during Spec Ops 3. In fact, partially the reason for Spec Ops 3 got me my job.
Nice. Now, of course, the elephant in the room from MAA days, and we're gonna definitely work our way up in timeline to Strike Force. Ghost Rider was you?
Ghost Rider was not me, actually. I was working on weapons at that time.
The weapons were cool.
But I did take over responsibilities for character building after that. Actually, Hercules was my first character.
Hercules. Is this right? 50 vulture shards for $2? Is that really a thing? I'm going to have to open up my game on my phone and buy that. That's really solid. So you can buy two of them, so that gets you 100 shards for $4. That's pretty good. But back to the MAA. Weapons. Is 20% really that big of a freaking number? Seriously.
I can tell you 100% that all the random numbers were all random numbers.
I know you used to listen to the show. Klotz and I used to argue incessantly.
I wanted to kick Klotz off his soapbox so many times. And I was like, get off that. You don't know what you're talking about.
I will buy it, Sin Raven. And Nicole says relatable about kicking Klotz off his soapbox. So, all right. So one of the tactics we took with the show was there's human beings behind this game, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How much did that matter in your office? Because I know there was days with the angel one coming to mind. The angel, we also refer to it as game day, but it was the last day of the Blitz, and it was crazy battling, and the servers would melt down, and the world would lose its mind, and death threats would start flying. And so one of the things we publicly stepped out and went, you can't do that. You got to stop. These are human beings. They didn't come out to make your game crash. I mean, that was never the intent. Did that help with anything in the office? Did you guys want to drink yourselves to sleep every night when the servers melted? How'd that go down?
One of the things that ran around the office was rule number one, never read the forums.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
So every time that I read, I was the exception. I would like to read the forums because I liked it when a new patch came out and people were actually like reacting to the new content. Like, that was the best stuff because that was when like people were usually the most positive. Usually as time went on, that's when they started complaining. I remember when they first saw like Rescue, right? Like I remember them seeing Rescue and being like, she's a terrible character. She does like no damage. I was like, just you wait and see. And sure enough, she became like the best person in the game. I was like, In fact, you can blame the QA team for making her even better because I had her originally at a different point, and they're like, she's so killable. She's easy to kill. I was like, okay. And I bumped up her shields.
That's funny. I would argue that Molly might have been one of the best characters in the game. I mean,
Rescue eventually became not as good, but that's because of the power creep.
Power creep, right. Okay. Are you in that department that has to deal with power creep? It's such a hard thing to work with, right?
Oh, it's always hard, and you have to try and, like, while there's no balance when it comes to power creep, at the same time, you have to try and make an effort to make sure that each character is better, but at the same time, by how much? Like, by how much better is it? I mean, that's why the beginning characters like Luke Cage and She-Hulk, they got set aside because they got stuck on the flight deck because they were the first, and you can't go back and touch the old characters because you don't have time. You have to keep making those new characters and keep pumping out those or the new uniforms. So you use the new uniforms as a way to go back and upgrade them.
Yeah, Golden Age Iron Fist changed the game.
Yeah.
Changed the game. It was
awesome. Otherwise he was a joke. He was a joke. And so was Luke Cage until he became, you know, null, breaker of worlds.
Yep. And how is that different in Strike Force? Because it seems like Strike Force, the joke was Ronin, blah, blah, worth this. And then we're not just Ronin. I've watched them do rebuilds on, and I say them because I don't know how much you did versus anybody else. But the team, I've watched the team do rebuilds on Elektra. Because Elektra was a powerhouse in beta. I mean, she was a one-kill wonder in beta. Mm-hmm. And And that needed to be tuned back. But how is the experience different working on Strikeforce versus working on MAA?
Well, I wasn't responsible for the characters when it came to Strikeforce. We had a different combat designer who was responsible. But her goal was to make sure that each was a fun experience. That was her main goal when it came to each character. So Elektra, obviously in the beta, she was overpowered. Or Black Widow, who was at that time like super easy to get and was super good. She was the best character in the game. They removed her so that it would take a while for you to get her. Things like that to try and alleviate the balance.
I think if Kurt were here, he'd probably still cry about that a little bit. Archive believes you made her unvulnerable.
Hey, I only had her at like 2-star, 3-star, or whatever her unlock was.
I think that's where I had her. I didn't have Quake. I always want to try to call her Daisy. I didn't have Quake.
I wanted to have a pure gameplay experience, so I only started playing once we had worldwide launch.
Oh, so I was totally happy with getting in on the beta because I needed that head start to even hold my own at world launch. And now it feels great when somebody who's new to the stream or maybe newer to the game, like, oh my God, that roster. And like, I know. It's because I had a 3-month head start and I needed every second of it. So I'm very, very happy with that. What was one of your favorite things that you miss about MAA?
Everything. I really miss that old game. I mean, MAA was a ball of spaghetti that just happened to keep shape. But to be honest, it was a little game that could, and I put in so many interesting story elements into that game. I was super pleased with the way the game ended. I liked how we kept it open in case Disney ever wants to open up that box again and use it. Also, I want to go on to say ISO 8 was us. We came up with ISO 8.
It's everywhere now. Right?
Your Marvel Contest of Champions, your Strike Force, your all that stuff, you can say, that was us. Thank you.
Ultimate Alliance 3 has ISO 8 in it. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I haven't played it yet, but that's what I saw in a forum. I was like, was this ISO 8? I'm like, really? Y'all are bringing some MAA stuff up in here? That's awesome.
See, they don't even talk about it. In fact, I think Contest of Champions decided to say that it was, Kang who was responsible for ISO 8 in Contest of Champions. And I'm like, we were originally thinking it was the Chaos King. I'm just saying.
I thought you were going to go with, well, I guess I got to legally change my name to Kang now. Because that was me. I did it. But yeah. It was, I do miss parts of MAA that aren't here, and I get why people who play games have explained it to me of why it's kind of a, we get why you did it, right? It's the reason you did the uniforms, you did the different special ones that you could modify, and there's that, because it gives a little bit more character building in the game that we didn't have before, and it's like you said, it's that way to really touch on the old characters that the power creep had killed. And bring them up.
I mean, it's also like, it's just like the old school RPGs, like in Final Fantasy, where you equip the sword, the shield, the armor, or the boots. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I loved it. I loved it. It's not here. But at the same time, especially with the, I hate to use this term because it's becoming really negative, but this loot crate world we live in, and then it's kind of the RNG, right? Is you knew in MA, I loved it so much. I spent so much money in that game when I could, because the deals, you always knew, wait for it. Buy the $50 gold deal, will have an amazing weapon with it. Now, yeah, by next month, the weapon will be power creeped out, but that's okay. You get a month play out of it, and you get all this other stuff. But it changed the game. But you knew, if I spent that gold on this suit, I know what I'm getting versus I actually kind of like the whole surprise. Here's some cool stuff you're looking for. But I also have spent a lot less money in this game because of that surprise.
Well, especially because like in MAA, you knew who you were buying when you used your CP.
Exactly. And let me just ask you something. As sole creator of every game ever happened, Kat, you gotta stop changing the names of the currencies across the games. I just need gold. That's all I need. Don't give me power cores and CP and action points. What? I just want some money to spend. Hey, I don't understand.
The world, it's gotta fit the theme. I can tell you they went through different iterations of what to call the currency.
I mean,
gold was definitely one of the first.
And I do appreciate about this game, and I know it's two different companies that made it. You know, you're with Playdom, and then with Seismic, and you know, now actually now you moved on to Niantic because Seismic got bought out.
They got acquired.
Okay. Ooh, by the way, I'm opening up some orbs. I've been needing some of those gamma orbs. It's not the orange mats, but still nice to see them. I do appreciate that gold is gold in both of the games, because I've tried a few different games that gold wasn't gold. Gold was something else. And like, wait, I got diamonds and I got gold, but I got coins that are gold coins, but they're not gold bars. I hate that. At least here in both games, the currency is the currency. It's like, this is gold. This is CP. This is raid points. This is your Gator, Raiderade, as I call it. You know.
Raiderade.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Now you did throw me for a loop here a few minutes ago that you just quit playing Strike Force.
I did stop playing.
Why did you stop playing Strike Force?
I kind of got broke by the Phoenix events.
Is it because it was a 6-star open versus a 5-star?
Yeah, okay. I was very close. I was missing Nobu, Hand Assassin, and Loki needed to both all get 6-stars. So I was grinding it out. I just didn't have the time. So...
But, you know, it's coming back in like a week, you know, 2 weeks, something
Woo-hoo.
Like that.
Woo-hoo, I still am like less than halfway.
Yeah. I told you I wanted to ask this. So that brings me to the next thing of, you've got to be so busy, always working on games. Because it's a nonstop, especially a game like this, it's a nonstop thing. It's not like, oh, the end is in sight with, I'm just going to go with Halo, right? Oh, we know we've got launch date, which means we've got to be done by this time. And yes, while a part of you will move on to the DLC, you get a breather. These games is, all right, cool, we got Namor out. Now we got to get this out. And now we got to get that. How is it? Is it permanent crunch time, or is there any kind of breathing room when you work on stuff like this?
So I am not... I'm not experienced with making a product that is put in a box and shipped out. I have not had the opportunity to do something like that, but even games like that nowadays still have a live service. That's what they call live services.
Okay.
That's basically what the game industry uses as a term to say, even though we're done with the game, like the first initial product is done, that game is going to get support and active dev help for the foreseeable future. Like, based off of like how much money it's going to make you, it's gonna have a live service.
Gotcha.
And so I can tell you that every company tries to maintain a work-life balance. Some are worse than others. I have been fortunate. Disney was very good. Disney/Playdom was very good. Seismic/Niantic is fairly good too. I have not had to crunch except for a few instances. I remember doing a few crunch nights for MAA, but that was also because I was trying to do my part as a new recruit in Disney to try and show that I'm a team player. So, you know, I'm trying to make myself look good and things like that.
Sure.
Like, put in extra work. Here I'm like, nope, I'm a game designer. I'll work my 10 to 6 every day, and then I'll go home and enjoy playing some video games like everybody else.
And you haven't streamed in a while. Was it because you got burned out on things? You got busy? So I, if you, and just so the audience knows, we talked a little bit before about the stuff we're not going to talk about, right? Because there's certain, we want to stay on the positive, right? We want to have a good experience with things, and we're not here to drag anybody through the mud or do anything like that. So if there's anything I accidentally touch on, you're just like, nah, we're moving on, and it's all good. I just wanted the audience to know that, because I know you know that.
No, so one part that happened was I moved. So Disney shut down our studio in December of 2016. And I dedicated a lot more time streaming, but I also was getting burnt out because I was doing the 7 days a week, 8 hours streaming a day, 8 to 10 usually. And then when I was off streaming, I was doing networking. I was going to events. I was spending a lot of time trying to socialize, which I'm an ambivert. So I have both introvert and extrovert energy. So I can socialize when I have it. But I also have an introvert side, and so eventually my introvert side was outweighing my extrovert side and was like, I'm using a lot of energy, I need to recharge. And streaming is hard. Like, trying to be a successful streamer,
there you go,
is actually a really hard thing. It's not easy. And surprisingly enough, the one time I was actually really successful, actually two times, was when I streamed Skyrim for the first time when it first came out. I had like 200 people watching me, which, wow. 200 people, that's not that much, but it was still a good bit.
But if they're sitting in your living room, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. And then the next time, I had 500 people watch me play Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links. Of all things. And then, right? I tried that for a week, and I got bored with it because I was playing that game 7 days, 8 hours a day, and that's a mobile game that's meant for you to play maybe 20-30 minutes a day. It's not meant for you to play 7 to 8 hours. So I had to fill in content, and I came up with these drinking games and things like that, and that was wearing on me.
Yeah.
But I had to move because I got my job here in Seismic down in LA. So I moved, and that cut into my time. And then I decided to transition, and that actually cut into a lot of it because now all of a sudden I didn't want to have to deal with transitioning on stream and having to deal with the, you know, the negativity that usually comes from that. Yeah. I'd rather be fully transitioned before I come back to streaming. So I've been transitioning for over a year now, so I'm in a pretty good place. So I probably will come back fairly soon. Not sure when. I don't have an exact date, but yeah.
Sure. That's awesome. That's awesome. I told everybody that we'll take questions and whatnot. Sin Raven says 90 minutes. That's all the content you get from Marvel Strike Force Daily if you're not doing things like roster reviews and rants. That's because there's that timer, right? There's that built-in buy more stuff. Oh, I just recruited Rescue. Speaking of, there you go. Did you work on Rescue in this game? Or can we just...
No, I did not work on Rescue in this game, although I did promote her. So I like to think that I contributed to her at least being added.
I'll take that.
I talked about her a lot. I was like, oh man, you guys should really put in Rescue in the game. So,
oh,
there you go. You got Rescue.
Perfect. I did. Too bad you can't put nicknames on characters. I'd name her Cat.
Aww.
And Nicole's right. We can do it now and at the end, but she wants tags so people can follow your social handles and whatnot. Even though I know you're not streaming now, but if you get out your streamer channel, when you come back, we'll all be able to know when you're back.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just... Here I am. This is my Twitch handle, so you can go follow me on my Twitch handle right there. It's still FF Legendary Hero. It's going to probably change... Probably won't stay FF Legendary Hero.
But as long as we follow, the channel's the same, right?
Yeah, you can still follow the channel. It'll be fine.
Gotcha.
Yeah, if you follow the channel, you'll see it. You can follow me there. I'm also, let's see here, Legendary Kitty, I believe, on Twitter. Yes. I'm Legendary Kitty. Yes. Or at Shadow Kitty Hero. That's also my name. I think that's pretty much my Twitterscape. There's also my professional game designer Twitter handle, which is Catriona Evans 3, I think, at Twitter.
Because there was two others before?
What?
There was two others before. You had to put a three on there, or is there three?
I think there's already a Catriona. That's funny. Let me double check that. I saw it on my phone.
That's interesting. I always give people, because I work at a EMT school, so we start classes every 6 weeks or so. It's adult education. They'll come in, and I get the craziest email handles, right? And it's like, well, like that one, Catriona Evans, and Catriona Evans 2554. I'm like, you're telling me there was 24 whatever thousand other ones before you? And especially if they're young, if they're like under 30, like,
I believe Catriona Evans was taken, so I added the three.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I always ask to find out. Nicole 0991, I feel called out. Well, you know, yeah, you just if it's 999, I feel like you just need help. So, because that's the European 911. So. European joke there. All right, moving on from the jokes. Yeah, definitely questions. Well, Deadpool was always one of my favorites in MAA. But it felt like in MAA, the character balance was off. As in, whatever the newest thing was, the biggest, baddest thing. And if you didn't have that, you could have went Pesty Beast, right? See, this is why I loved getting in the beta here. I felt like I was behind the curve on MAA always. So I got in the first month they launched it. It advertised on my Facebook thing. I'm like, I like Marvel. Why not? And I clicked it, but I played it like a noob. It was like, oh, my energy's gone. All right, I'll check in tomorrow. And that was it. And it wasn't until other people, I think it was John Lee Hart, actually, that called me. I was like, no, you got these refreshes, man. And you got this other stuff that comes in. And it refreshes like every 6 hours. I was like, oh. Okay, and I started playing it like a game. Because y'all changed the landscape of Facebook gaming. You were up against Farmville and Mafia Wars were the two biggest ones at the time. And those were games that, no, I mean, you played it, but you didn't play it like a game. It's like, oh, I'm bored at work. Click, 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 click. Okay, I'll come back later. And they were catching on. I mean, I knew people who would be like setting phone timers on their phone going, I got to rush home. I got to get on Facebook because I got to harvest my strawberries or they'll die. But MAA was a game, and I didn't know that. So I was behind the eight ball. So like by the time I got Pesty Beast, he was nerfed, you know. So I was like, but I say all that long rambling stuff to say, it always felt like there, the character development was, here's the newest, biggest, baddest thing. If you don't have it, you're going to fall behind. And Strikeforce, and I've said it from day one, even with the AIM people, everybody likes to hate on it. Because they can't hate on Ronan every now. Ronan's great. So you can't hate on Ronan. So they're like, oh, AIM, infected, blah. It's like, no, every character, if leveled correctly or leveled at all, is a viable character in this game.
I wouldn't be surprised if both AIM and Hydra eventually get an update.
Yeah. Exactly. Nicole calls me out.
I'm going to say this. If Scientist Supreme is not the best healer in the game, I'll be disappointed.
You know, I could get that. I can get that because I go up against that character during the raid battles, and it's like, quit resurrecting everybody. You're killing me here.
If you don't kill her, she's just going to keep resing everybody.
Yeah. Well, it's like you have that choice in the beta raids here is you've got Strange, and you've got Scientist Supreme. It's like, one's going to resurrect the other. The one I really hate is I don't realize she's in the crowd of 2,000 characters. I'm like, why does this random character keep coming back? And they have to, oh, there she is. Let me kill her real quick.
I also did missions for Strikeforce. I would purposely hide her behind people just so that you had to go and look for her. I purposely did that on fun. I was like,
it's going to be funny. You're so evil. But that's actually a really great move. It was fun.
Well, it's also so that people who are just clicking, like just going through it, that they actually have to look at the field and see, yeah. Oh, there's Scientist Supreme. If I target her, it'll be easier.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Back to MAA. Darkwing, who played MAA with us? His name is Dark. The tag is Darkwing FDH. I was lost in PvP until I watched Kingfisher, and from him I also found FDH, and Sin Raven says the same. And actually, we did get a number of people discovering the podcast that way. How much, because again, at the time of MAA even coming out, communities around games weren't what they are today, right? Today, mm-hmm. a game is birthed into a community almost, it feels like. And I mean, I was surprised at how quickly I got on Strikeforce, and yet there was already people streaming it like a casino, and they had the time to do what you're talking about, the 8-hour streams and move to partner, and they're like, yeah, I can't compete with that. It blew me away because, like, well, we were top dogs with the MAA days because nobody was doing stuff like we were doing it. How much did it play in? How much did the community play into MAA versus the Strikeforce for you in the office?
So I didn't have a hand in the community aspect for Strikeforce. I did encourage them to make their own forums because forums are always fun. They kind of saw Reddit as their forums, so that's how that kind of came about. But I would say that the advent of things like Discord have kind of made your own forums kind of moot. Because people are joining their Discord channels and things like that. It's still not like super popular, but like people can make their own homes and communities there, their own guild communities there. Twitter, of course, has made things a lot more open. Reddit, obviously. But like back then, like Reddit was still relatively in the background. People were on Reddit, but they didn't like go there constantly. And so we wanted to make our own forums so that the players could chat. And I don't know if you played the Playdom version of MAA, but they had an active chat room with all the players in it. Mm-hmm. I actually started out the game playing on the Playdom side of things. So I actually had the experience of playing on both Facebook and the Playdom site. And I eventually moved away from the Playdom site because it was a lot easier to get gold, which made PvP a lot harder. Because everybody had gold.
I gotcha. I did play on the Playdom, so I got Facebook first, and because at the time it was so hard to do Facebook on games on mobile, right? Because it wasn't a mobile game.
No.
So I started to play Playdom. I don't remember why. Maybe I got into Playdom because I was like, oh, you know what? I got laid off. That's why I started the podcast. I got laid off. It's like, okay, I've used all my energy on Facebook. All right, now I'm going to go over to Playdom.com and start all over and play there. And the chat rooms, the chat was phenomenal. Just to be able to actively, I mean, we take it for granted, like you said, with Discord. And, I mean, we're streaming on Twitch, and now we got a chat room built in here. Yeah, Puffin. Oh, Chris Wisdom got me that Puffin browser that let us play, and that made Facebook game mobile. Absolutely. Chris came to us through that game and that show as well. By the way, do you remember on our podcast how we talked about the fabled Playdom memo or the Disney memo? I forget what it was, but it was this memo that we're like, oh my god, this got sent to us, and it was like typed out on paper and all wrinkled up, and it was about these crazy things that were gonna happen in the game. And Emmett and I brought it to the show. We're like, yeah, we don't know what this is, but we talked about it. The long story is, for those of you who do maybe remember, that was a big moment for me because it's hilarious. That was Chris Wisdom trolling us. He actually went to the lengths of typing out this memo, making it look official, balling it up and undoing it, and doing a really crappy scan of it, like somebody leaked it, and then sent it to us. Like, oh my god, we found this on the internet. That's when I knew Chris Sisson was a douchebag, but I loved him anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I did watch you guys when you were like relatively new, but like, I guess I must have missed that one.
It might have been before we even started going live, because for the first, I don't know, I'm going to say 30 episodes, we just did straight podcasts. So he and I would call each other, we'd just talk about the game, we're like, man, this is lacking something, and we decided to test out Twitch, and then basically got a much better audience because people would come out and watch us play or watch the replays and those kind of things.
Yeah, I would download the podcast and listen to them while I was working usually.
And now it's funny. It's the other way around, is I tend to do video creations. So I said at my day job, I do this EMS instructor thing, but I also do a lot of digital media. And we do shows about ambulances and paramedics and stuff going on in our area in Georgia and stuff that can be nationwide even. And we've actually had people now come to us because our audience was on Facebook. That's where everybody was talking about it. We already had the school already had a good size following. So we just used that platform. And then we had people come to us and go, I'd really love for you to make this a podcast because I don't have time to find the video on Facebook and watch the whole thing. I'd like to download it to the car and listen to it. So it's funny how the world just it flows. You have to really do all the media. I'm going to give my soapbox a little bit. Somebody asked if there was going to be a soapbox. Here it is. Yes, Chris, I did talk about the 20% thing already, and Kat backs me up. So fuck you, fuck Klotz. Everybody get out of here. I was right.
It was 20%. Literally, random numbers, 20%. There was no weights.
So there you go, bitches. I've been officially vindicated.
Trust us, we investigated that so many times. Just in case.
I wish I knew just generic numbers on how many freaking ticket/emails that the help desk had to field off of that stupid thing.
Too many.
Yeah. No, that's my shirt. I will tattoo that all day long. So about 20% isn't a lot. It's not. It's literally 20%. There's 80% of nothingness there. God, he gets me so riled up about that. So we talked about some of your fun stuff. We talked about some of the different things you worked with in MAA. When we on the show, it's Klotz, Ibbett, and I, and Klotz, oh, that screenshot reminds me of what we're going to talk about next. But Klotz, he's had his finger on the pulse of the business for a while of gaming and different things. I mean, I'm always going to be just the drunk uncle, the filthy casual. I just want to come have fun. That's who I am, and I make no apologies for that. But there are serious gamers out there who know more about industry than I do, and he was one of those. And he kind of saw the writing on the wall. He's like, I wouldn't be surprised if they sunset this, and we all started seeing it. And then when it became official, is it like one of those, and what I'm setting up for you is it like one of those things where it's not real until you say it out loud? You know, was it kind of like, well, maybe we'll get picked up. Maybe Disney will change their mind. Maybe it'll change. And then once it became a post on the game, it was like, ah.
No, it kind of became more real when all of a sudden they asked for everybody in the office to get into the big room together, because you don't do that often. Or if you did do that, you did it for special events, and there was no special event that was known. So everybody, especially the people who were my seniors, they knew something was wrong. Like, they were like, there's something wrong. And I'm like, but it could be something good. Like, no. Oh, sweet summer child, no. So we went into the room, and sure enough, it was the announcement that Disney was shutting our studio down, and that they would have, like, the HR people come by and talk to us and all that. And we actually got 3 months notice. Like, they gave us 3 months prior. We knew in October.
That's nice, because it gave you time to find a place to land financially.
Yeah. So, like, our end date was actually the day after Christmas, because they were giving us Christmas, which was really nice. Like, most companies would not do that,
because they don't want to pay the holiday pay and all that other stuff.
Yeah, they would give us the holiday pay, the holiday bonus.
Yeah.
So that was really nice of them. So basically, if you think about it, they gave us a 3-month stipend right there. So, but even then, the MAA team knew that we wanted to end the game. So that's when we came up with the last Spec Ops. We came up with Adam Warlock and Phi Lavelle. And I was the one who came up with the whole Phi Lavelle and Adam Warlock team up together to try and save the universe from the incursions. Because, of course, if you follow the Secret Wars story, supposedly all the universes got blown up. My whole bit with the story was that they separated themselves from the multiverse. They cut themselves off. So they were floating in nothing, basically, like a giant, like, space ball.
Yeah, no, that's exactly where my mind went too. Now, I made that frustrated face because that Spec Ops story, that last one, is like, seriously, it probably would have been horrible. Don't get me wrong. But you know how you are when you're in the moment. I was like, couldn't you make it a shitty Spec Ops and this doesn't hurt as much? So it's not so, because that was fucking epic. It was so epic.
That was the whole thing. We wanted to end the story with the fear itself stuff. We knew that Odin was going to be the villain halfway through. Like before, we were like, well, we know that it's going to be Cole Borson, the serpent, was going to be like the main like theoretical villain. But we were like, there has to be a twist. There has to be a reason why Cull is here and how that ties into the incursions. So we had Odin be the big bad.
It was so good.
Okay, how do we continue from there? And so that's when we introduced the whole Adam Warlock storyline and made it epic with the Magus and all that. And I don't know if they'll actually do this, but one of the things that I was trying to work on for Strikeforce was to play with the idea that the Nick Fury you have in game. Well, you might realize there was a loose thread with Nick Fury getting lost in season two.
Yeah.
So Nick Fury in this game replaces the Nick Fury of this universe because that Nick Fury was killed by Ultimus. So Nick Fury in Strikeforce is actually the Nick Fury from MMA.
Now, there are some...
That makes it an unofficial sequel.
That's beautiful. But aren't there some real... I mean, I know it's not official that you and other...
It's not official. Unless they decide to actually write it in the game, it's not official.
No, I know that. But I know that there are some Easter eggs, though, right? Some nice tip-of-the-hat references to MAA. I've caught a few of them. I don't think I've caught all of them. Can you kind of throw out some of the Easter eggs that are in Strikeforce?
Well, that's the biggest one. That's the biggest one right there. The stuff with... what's her name? Lara Sun or whatever her name is from the Nick Fury event. She was a character that I wanted to create for MAA. So she ended up getting created for Strikeforce. So that's cool. Although I don't know if they'll do anything with her. In my head, there's I'm not going to say what happens to her, but like, if they decide to take her, she has an interesting story that I gave them. So hopefully they use it at some point. If not, what else?
Sure. But
there are nods here and there. I think some of the items are items that were in an MAA or similar to it or something like that. I can't remember.
I mean, I would love to have a cube. I'd love that.
Well, as soon as they decide to put, like, I'm sure Agent Coulson in the game, they might give him a Tesseract.
You know, that's a thing. That is a thing. He's been teased.
Please, no cube. All right.
Who did I use with this team? I used somebody earlier that worked really well.
But I think you were looking at the picture of Namor.
I was looking at Namor, and you were like, now you just left the game, and they bring this character that you want to talk about, which I presume is like something awesome. Go ahead. What's your love with Namor?
I have no love for Namor.
Oh, really?
Namor. But that said, the most requested character ever for MAA was Namor.
Right. Every time
an announcement. Namor was so heavily requested over and over and over again. Now, be as it may that I may not like Namor as a character, that said, I like to please the people. And if I could have brought Namor to the game, I would. But Namor's like licensing is so crazy.
I was surprised that Fox Next was able to get that one out.
I was too. I just saw the video they put on their YouTube channel, and I was like, wait, Namor? Like, I could understand the Fantastic Four, but Namor? I was like, what? Okay, interesting.
I am actually excited. Don't want to play him, though. I do, because of MAA, right? Because everyone's like, Namor, 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 like, Why? I mean, I don't understand. I've read some of the comics. He's
a dick. Aquaman.
Yeah. You know, he's yeah, exactly. But now that he's here,
with Namor was when Black Panther went and ripped his head off. I'm serious. That's what
I'm sure.
He leads him on an incursion world in Secret Wars to get blown up.
Tana is saying about the licensing. I'm sure there's a theory here. He's a mutant, so assuming he's 20th Century Fox, which means Disney now, that might actually be part of Namor, how they shut down.
Namor is actually licensed by a bunch of people, so there's like all these little bits that are owned by different entities. So it's not just Fox, and it's not just Fox is. It's mostly because he's licensed by so many different entities. It's so hard to try and get the right stone.
You're more in development and coding. Do you play into the graphics design at all, or the graphics development of these games?
When I was on MAA, I came up with the move, like how moves were supposed to look for the characters, the ideas. For X-23, the boots were made for walking.
Yeah.
That was me.
Nice.
I was like, it would be so awesome if she just like claws her way up people with her toe blades. Because like everybody's like, what do we do with her toe blades? Well, I'm like spinning bird kick, and then the boots go up the body.
Yeah, it was great. And I know you've seen because you've been in some of my chats early on when I was streaming this game. It's just beautiful. I mean, Strikeforce is just a work of beauty. The violence, and I'm that guy who thinks smashing things is a beautiful thing, but not beyond that. I mean, just the moving backgrounds and the flight decks in a good way, and all the details on these characters. And every time there's a big update that comes out, I know you don't work on it anymore, but I know you did a lot beforehand. Every time there's an update, it's just prettier and prettier.
Mm-hmm. It's actually one of the things that makes the game a little bit more complicated, because there's so much that goes into a character. It makes it hard to do things like skins or anything like that. Like, people want to talk about skins, and it's like, to make a skin, it's basically making a new character, which making a new character, like, people don't realize it. It takes months to make them. So
Here on the stream, there's Star-Lord. Who the hell decided to have him pelvic thrusting 24/7? I don't understand.
That would probably be Chris Ruvalo.
Is it because he goes, hey, this will be funny? Or I know the reference in the movie
approved.
Is the pelvic power, you know, the rhythmic. Yeah.
It got approved.
Well, obviously it got approved. Soapbox says, I want to get the Imperius. He's talking about me. Charles wants to get the Imperius Rex on.
Mm.
That's Namor, right?
That's Namor's catchphrase. Okay. Imperius Rex.
Yeah, I don't know. This could be referring to what you're saying about Namor. Nothing says screw you like leaving you in a dying universe and then nuking you.
Pretty much.
Oh, man. How much of the comics played into either one of these games? Like, was everybody there huge fans, or were you required to read stuff? I mean, obviously, I know there were tie-ins to the movies with MAA.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
So, funny enough, I was one of three people who actually read comics at Disney.
Out of a team of how many?
One of three. There was three people. So, it was me, Justin Woods, and Lee.
No.
The art lead.
There's more people worked on the team, right?
Mm-hmm. I can tell you for a fact, none of them were Marvel fans until after they started working on the game.
Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know, right? I was like, so what comics are your favorites, guys? And they're like, we didn't start reading until after we started working on this. So I was like,
yeah, no, that's what threw me off. We're like, I was with three people. I was like, what? Wait, what?
And not the same for Strikeforce. Strikeforce, the people had watched the movies, obviously, by that point.
By that point, there were
people who were very familiar with the cinematic universe. So, of course, Strikeforce, let me go back. MAA took inspiration from both the comics and the MCU. So they had an MCU component. We tried to work it into the comics, especially because the MCU at the start of MAA was relatively new. So it's still like, it was mostly just the core Avengers. If you had anyone from the X-Men or anyone from Fantastic Four and things like that, they hadn't been as successful. X-Men to a degree was successful, but not as successful as the MCU was. So we took bits and pieces from both to make an amalgamation. Strike Force was way more MCU, way less comics. So if there is a little bit of comics, it's only because there's not much in the MCU to compare it to.
Well, at some point, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but at some point you have to move out of the MCU, because like you got Ms. Marvel here, because there's, as awesome as the MCU is, there's only so many characters, and that will not sustain a game very long.
Well, it's just like Tama is saying in chat, MCU is more recognizable by
and
the
I get that. Yeah, I absolutely start there.
Yeah. So you're catering to the bigger audience, and the bigger audience is the movie audience. So,
but then you start, hopefully, and that's what MA did for me, is you start bringing in those cool elements of the comics, and then bringing in the wider. The Monster Hunter, Elsa Bloodstone, had no idea who she was until MAA brought her to the table, and I fell in love with her character, and then I went and read her books after
that. Funny thing, whenever there was another wave, it would always say next wave. That was our nod to the next wave comic books.
Nice.
Because Next Wave, if you haven't read them, are freaking awesome. You need to read them. They are like one of the funniest Marvel comics ever, and Marvel wants to like almost forget it ever existed because it's so silly.
Yeah.
But that's where like we got our Elsa Bloodstone, and we wanted to get Monica Rambeau in there.
Yep. That would have been cool.
Couldn't get her.
But you got Hellfire Club in there. You got the whole I'm losing the name of the British team. Basically the British Avengers.
Excalibur,
thank you. Team Excalibur. And the French character X.
He was Phantom X.
Never knew who he was until the game. And that's what the thing was. Those spec ops, those stories, it was like playing a comic book and going, some of them are like, okay, I don't, just for style-wise, I don't really care about this part. Sure, but there are so many parts like, oh, I never knew this. And then I go find the books. Y'all never did the Blue Devil, which I thought would have been phenomenal. And because I discovered him because of the Hellfire Club that you did. I went and read Hellfire Club, and then I discovered, I think he's the Blue Devil, Blue Demon, something like that. I'd have to Google it.
But, I'd have to Google it, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a mainstream thing, but I am a mainstream guy. I mean, I am the filthy casual. It's very much, if it wasn't on TV, I don't know, booger eater. But, yeah, I mean, I got more deep into comic books because of MAA than ever before, and I'm hoping that the people who are still pushing Strike Force, it seems like they are. They brought out the AIM team early on. Well, that's not mainstream at all. The animations. You get AIM in animations. Somewhat, yeah. In the Disney animations and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, Ms. Marvel, that was the first book I read from day one. And up until a certain point where I just ran out of time, I read every issue of it and loved every issue of it. And then she came to the game very quickly, and it was phenomenal. And y'all did her great, and I hope the creator is proud of it.
I am super stoked that before the end of the game, I managed to get Jane Foster Thor into the game.
Yeah, you did.
I love Jane Foster Thor. I thought she was one of the best things that they've done with Thor in a very long time. Although I hate how they made Thor unworthy with the whole whisper from Nick Fury in his ear. I was like, come on, guys. What? What did you say? And then we finally learned what it was, and I'm like, really? That made Thor unworthy? Sure.
That's Ragnarok's ass right there. That's what he whispered. So Skippy he's like, Thor 4 is gonna be dope. Yeah. And welcome, King Polo. For time's sake, I didn't log in as FDH Beyond, but GSU Media is me And so when you see that type back, that's me. So thank you, Tana, for bringing in some people, and Skippy for bringing in Tana and all that jazz. Tana says Monica Rambeau is being added to the MCU, and WandaVision and mutants, including Excalibur, are getting a comic reboot. So hopefully it goes well and we branch out in Marvel Strike Force. Well, Monica Rambeau actually came through Captain Marvel. Right?
Yeah, she's already in the Captain Marvel movie. She's the young girl in the 90s. So
but you're
she's
right.
She's definitely grown up now.
You're right, though. She is moving up. It's not just, hey, for filthy casuals, right? The casual audiences. The little girl in the movie, they won't remember. But yeah, they're bringing the character more in your face, older in this thing, putting her next to recognizable characters.
Well, I mean, you heard the rumor, right?
Probably. I don't remember.
So the rumor is that Carol Danvers is at least LGBTQ, and so they imply that her friend is actually her partner.
Yeah. And that was kind of the vibe. We talked about that on
BTV. They didn't exactly say anything. They didn't actually give it confirmation, but there's this, are they?
Yeah, and I think that'd be really cool. I do know, now there's been a statement made. I can't remember which one of the Marvel heads made the statement. It's one of the announcements. But that Phase 4 is going to be bringing some LBD cheat. I stumble over my tongue so much. LBGTQ+ characters into the MCU. So, yes. I mean, that's absolutely
They already have one statement confirmed, and that's Valkyrie. Valkyrie is a lesbian.
Yes, because you get that in. You get the scene inferred in when we first see her. Was that Ragnarok? No, Ragnarok's not when we first saw her. Yeah, Ragnarok's
when
we first
Ragnarok's when she first showed up. And there's a deleted scene where she is confirmed to be, but they took it out.
So you get the inference. But then there's a statement in Endgame, I think, in the village. There's some statement about her partner.
I think maybe. I can't remember. And I do know that when they announced Thor 4, they were saying that... as someone here, Tana also says she's looking for her queen.
Ah.
Because she's the king, so she needs a queen.
Yeah. So, I'm happy to see more inclusion. I'm waiting for an actual Miss Marvel on the screen. I'll be very happy with that. And you know.
Especially if we get a Miles Morales teaming up with her.
That would be good. But
speaking of which, go see Into the Spider-Verse. It's amazing. Go see it.
Yes. See it. Buy it. Get in line right now for the sequel that's coming. You know, let's do this. That thing won so many awards and changed the face of animation. And it's whoever owns the rights to it now, because honestly, I have no idea where it falls in the Disney folks. So that's right. Crap. I see too many moving pieces. Fox, Sony, Disney. So, yeah, Sony, that's right. Sony owns all the actual individual Spider-Man stuff. They'd be dummies to not do a sequel. That was probably the biggest movie of the year for them with that.
For Sony, I actually think maybe Venom may have beaten them. But that's because I don't think Into the Spider-Verse did so well in the theaters. I think it did okay.
It probably did okay. But it's probably done great in the home audience.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can look it up.
Yeah. But here's the thing, too. The word. Venom got money, but I thought Venom was great. I had a fun time with it. It's fun. It's a fun monster film. I'm a huge monster film guy.
It feels so weird to have Venom without Spider-Man.
It does. It does. And we need them to fix that. But the carnage is coming. But the word, the buzz, not just buzz, because buzz dies, the legit energy around this movie, all the award nominations, all the award wins, all the people talking about, nobody ever says, Spider-Verse is okay, and nobody ever says it sucked. Everybody's like, oh my God, have you watched it yet? If you haven't watched it, go watch it now. I've watched it 20 times. You know, that's why I'm saying they'd be
fools. Just putting it on just so I can listen to it in the background.
You know, it made me care for Sunflower Guy. I lost him now. Y'all know he is. Klaus, I know you know he is. The
Prowler?
The rapper. The rapper who did the song Sunflower from the movie.
Oh, yes.
He's not a rapper. He's a singer-rapper, whatever. I mean, I'd like this stuff okay. I'm forced to, not forced to, but I host karaoke and different things.
So what's up, Danger?
I take people. Post Malone. There you go, Tata. Post Malone. But Sunflower Karaoke. Now my little girl knows who Post Malone is. Like, we got to be careful with that, but all right. Something I said earlier, I know I got to wrap up. It's getting late for me here, but there's two things I want to ask. One is I'm going to ask for some advice on the game in a minute, but I want to ask one last thing. With Strike Force or with MAA, did your team ever get any kind of contact, a thank you letter, a word through management, anything of the creators of the characters that you're using going, hey, you did some really cool stuff in the game with that?
The one time we ever got notified by someone in the comics industry like that was the one time we got a cease and desist from Stanley's lawyers.
No! No! How did you get a cease and desist? This was an officially licensed Marvel product.
So do you remember challenge mode?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, so you remember how like certain missions you'd go back and there'd be like
levels? Yes, yes.
So when we first came out with that, they originally called it Excelsior mode.
Oh.
And man. Apparently no one had gone to Stan Lee and his lawyers and said, hey, we would like to use this.
Copyrights, man. It's a thing.
I have a funny story about that because that was roughly when I first started working for Disney. And like people were running around the office because within 24 hours we had to change it. So like as soon as it got released, we had to change it all over the game. And I heard about it through word of mouth around the office and I went, well, that's stupid. Like, of course Excelsior belongs to Stan Lee. And I said that and right behind me was the head of our office. And I said, I'm getting back to work, sir. Like he was giving me the evil stare, like.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm getting back to work.
Yeah.
I'm a contract employee right now.
Yeah, grunts can't question that kind of oversight. Question from the chat room. Now, I don't know if this might fall into an area that we can't talk about, but did you work on any characters for Strike Force that are not available in the game yet?
No, I did not work on characters.
Remind me, because I know you said it, but we've talked about both games back and forth intermixed. This game, what did you do?
I worked on characters for MAA. I did not for Strike Force. On Strike Force, I worked on the tutorial. And I worked on mission design, especially when it came to certain campaigns as well as raids. So, yes, you can hate me for some of the raids.
But some of them are tough for sure. And
you'll eventually out-level it, okay?
Yeah,
it will eventually be easier. Oh,
yes.
I guess that is one other thing I'm responsible for.
Uh-oh.
That blaster challenge at the end.
Oh, dude. I hate you so much for that. Oh, I still haven't beat it. Oh.
That was me. I'm not responsible for the rewards, though. That is honestly got me.
I don't care about the rewards. It's so damn tough. Oh.
Hey, I tested it with level 70 characters at 4 red stars.
Okay.
6664, and it seemed to work fine for me.
Oh, yeah, I'm Ultimus Power. It worked just fine. I don't know why you scrubs can't beat it.
Hey, you're meant to be max level for it. Just saying.
Actually, I might have beaten that one now, but that was a bane of my existence because I didn't level types. So I'd never level blasters as a whole. I was always working on my favorite characters, which, by the way, y'all did Hulk so beautifully. I know it wasn't you specifically, but you know I cried little tears about how Hulk weaked out on MAA.
I know you cried.
I did. It's like, he's Hulk. He's just be powerful. I mean, I cried man bro tears for it. And Hulk's been beautiful in this game. And fuck all you guys who gave him hate because – I told you one, he was 90% great in this game, still best in any game ever for a Hulk appearance, and then they tweaked him. And I've got damn near 7-star Hulk, and all you crybabies can't catch up. So there's that. All right, so the piece of advice I want to ask everybody, Skippy, everybody here in the chat room, but definitely you, Kat, is I just got another set of the orange crap here, right? The orbs. I don't know who to use it on currently. So I can flip through my top tier people because it's, you know, like with Thanos, it's Power Punch or Brutal Assault. And yeah, I'm running some salt. So I don't know what to throw out, but I was asking everybody who and what should I put this boost on? Because I've got most of my characters are 6664. So, you know, there's Groot. I've already been told don't worry about Minerva because it only boosts her up by 5% speed bar change, which makes it 25% total. Rocket there. We got Rifle and Expert Tinker. Who do I have in my arena? That's my arena is... I'll go ahead and show you.
Do you have your Ronin maxed out?
No, I don't. This is my arena. It's Defenders is what I was trying to get my words right.
Oh, your Defenders are also good. Defenders or Brotherhood are still good.
Ooh, I'm about to get Magneto.
You might want to, like, especially if you have Phoenix.
I'm about to get Phoenix. There's a quick update. So this was all about the interview tonight, and I love talking. So a quick update on my game. Let me clear this back to all, because you'll see I only have Hand Assassin to get, and I've got 5 days to get 45 shards. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to get that knocked out and get Phoenix.
You know they're going to do at least one day where they'll do the double shard drop. So hopefully you're lucky and you get all the shard drops there.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. Skippy, I heard him to say it, but I can do Hulk. Well, see, I always did the Always Angry and the Smash. So Rage is the one where it clears all the negative effects from self. I can do Hulk. I did take your advice at one point and really leveled up. I stopped at some point because I got distracted by all the characters coming in the game. But I was working on that Shield Medic. And you were not wrong. That revive is key. Now, revive works better with Minerva's set as they brought her in later on.
Minerva overtook her.
Yeah. But, yeah. I'm glad I listened to you. And everybody's like, why are you wasting time with Shield Medic? It's like, because a little birdie told me, work on Shield Medic. And it worked out.
Also, fun fact, I hate the male Shield Medic. I hate him.
Yeah, what is that all about? There's no male Shield Medic in the game. Why?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to talk about that, but
too much about that, but the basic gist is it's not funny seeing a woman get shot in the face.
Okay, I can give him that, because he is a bit of a buffoon. He is a bit of a moron. And I, you know what? Now that you mention that, I probably would have been pissed off had they taken the actual medic, because she's badass. She's badass in the game. She's strong.
See, my way of fixing it would have been have the male shield medic get shot in the face, and then the female shield medic comes out and says, I got this.
Yes! Thank you! That would have been perfect. Where's my defender? Miss Marvel's mutant. Inhuman. Yeah, you know what? That's right. So that makes sense of why, from a commercial standpoint, that they didn't do a female one. Because that's...
Especially because during that time, the Me Too movement was just, like, getting going, so...
Well, even without that, that's not smart. Don't make a dumb woman get shot in the face. That's 80s male stereotype crap. So, all right. It is funnier when it's a dude. So...
Which one you should put in?
Oh, okay.
To be honest, I wasn't the most... I basically took whatever was the most powerful and pumped up that for what looked like a good upgrade. So for me, my most powerful team was still Brotherhood and Defenders. Your Defenders could easily go up. Looks like you have... Ooh, Jessica Jones is really good, I think. Isn't it?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, I worked on my defense a long time.
Because I remember Luke Cage is lackluster. He's my lowest.
Yeah, Jessica Jones resistance.
Denial.
Yeah. Jessica Jones resistance.
The resistance bonus is no joke.
Yeah, it really isn't. And it goes across the board and raise it to 40% across defenders and another. Well, that'd still be 20% for
everybody. She gets plus 10%. To herself, so she's got 40%, and then she gets another 40%, I believe, with the defender allies. I think.
Yeah. That'd be 50%
resistance.
Jeez, crazy. That's crazy. I'm going to look at that. And King Polo suggests that I can go to Tana's Discord, which I guess I'll need an invite for that, but I would absolutely love to do that.
Take a look at online before you make a choice, before you regret putting your orange mats in something you don't want.
Yeah. I've been building certain characters, but I've gotten to that point like, okay, my strongest teams are fairly strong. Now it's the pick and choose where the best investment
is. I just love the Defenders team. They're just so easy to play.
They are. And Luke Cage is the man in this game. He is so good. It was great.
He's not on any flight deck.
That's in the game. There's a comet in the game.
I know. I put that in there.
I figured you did. I cheered so hard when I saw that reference. I was like, oh, my God. So good. You know what? I'm going to go with I like that one. I'm going to go with the clear all negative effects from self, healing from Iron Fist. And max that Son of Kunlun, that one.
Okay.
So our inner peace. I already had maxed out Son of Kunlun. So inner peace is what I did, and I'm happy with all of it. I just every once in a while I try to get some guidance because you're right. The resistance is solid. Oh, man, doing these raids, I can see where if I level enough, what will happen with a character? Because there's some characters that are just so rock solid. But anyway, I would talk all night. I've got to get this done. I have waited almost 7 years for this conversation, so I'm very happy we're able to get together and do this tonight. Thank you, Kat, for reaching out, because I knew it was just biding time.
Yeah.
I know Kurt was sad that he wasn't able to be here to ask you his questions. So anytime you want to come back on, you know where to find me.
Of course.
Is there, because I know you're not working on these games right now, is there a secret project? Because obviously I don't want you to bust a secret out. Or is there something you can promote that you're working on currently?
So the game is in soft launch. It's called Valor's Reach. You can go and play it if you know how to do it. It is based on the Magic the Gathering IP. So you can take a look and have fun. It's a card game. So there you go. That's what I'm currently working on. Can't talk about the rest of the stuff, but hey, Harry Potter Wizards Unite just came out not too long ago. So hopefully you guys are all wizards and taking care of the Statute of Secrecy and all that. And of course, Pokemon Go. Go play Pokemon Go. It's a ton of fun nowadays, especially with Team Rocket now in the game.
Yeah, I finally got somebody I can identify with in that game. I'm happy. So we did it mid-level. Tell them where they can find your Twitch channel, because you're going to be coming back to Twitch soon, and your Twitter handle.
Sure. My Twitch channel is FF Legendary Hero. That'll probably change, so go follow it now. You can also find me at Shadow Kitty Hero on Twitter, as well as Catriona Evans 3 on Twitter. One's my game designer professional Twitter, and the other one is my Twitch handle / just general.
I gotcha. I am Rock Gunna Podcasting all across social media. And you can find, if you just Google that, you'll find a bunch of stuff I do. Breaking the Panel with Paul Klotz, Chris Wisdom, and Phil Keating on Wednesday nights. That is a studio produced show, as in we don't record it live in front of anybody, but we do put it out as a podcast. Then there's tonight I did Pokemon Go on Pokemon Go Podcast on Twitch. And I did this, FTH Beyond. And then Sundays, I am farming in Borderlands 2 to try to find all the different weapons I need to find so that I can have the epic weapon in Borderlands 3. And Monday nights on GSTU Media on Twitch, twitch.tv/GSTU Media. You can find me with Phil Keating running through the Borderlands, drinking beer, and getting ready for Borderlands 3 to drop. Now, with that in mind, everybody, listen really carefully because we're going to need your help. GSTU Media on Twitch is trying to push for partner. We're this close to partner. So we're doing that big event. Borderlands 3 drops on the 13th. Phil and I both have taken the 16th of September off, which is a Monday. And pretty much all day Monday, the two of us are going to be in playing it from the beginning. Now, Phil might have to drop in that. We're going to figure out how to fill that gap while he's not in. But Phil and I are playing. And the only time we're playing that game is when we're together. We've committed to that. So it's going to be an all-new experience, brand-new game, Borderlands 3. Please put the word out to come out on that Monday. We need 75 average viewers over the month. So we're going to need about 2,000 people. So bring all your friends to come play and follow and watch us play that day. So September 16th. And then, of course, I'll be live at Dragon Con with everybody else. And one day, Kat, maybe I'll see you at Dragon Con.
Maybe you will.
That'd be awesome. So, all right, thank you again for coming on and being amazing. Thank you, everybody, here for watching and sticking around live. Kurt had another obligation he had to do last minute tonight, but he should be back on Monday, I believe, to do his stream. So, right here, FDH Beyond. Hit that follow button. And if you got that Twitch Prime, Amazon Prime, throw us a few subs. We appreciate it. Oh, thank you, Nicole. Nicole reminded me we have merchandise. That's tiny.cc/GSTU. Giant Size Team Up is the network that we're on. GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Check it out. And King Polo, it's great to meet you. And Tana, great to see you. Thanks for coming out. Hi, I'm so hyped. We got to do a part two of this conversation. There's so many things to talk about. But I appreciate everybody. Thanks for coming out. Where's my logo? There it is. All right, bye.
Bye.